Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and it's April 1st. Are you feeling good about that? Are you thinking that, what are they going to do today? What are they going to say? How much of the news is really true? Unfortunately, the health care bill passed. That was the biggest April Fool's joke that I've seen. But speaking of people that are here, who are present, who are willing to work, who is here with his little computer and all of his little wires attached to his body, Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Hey, I'm feeling good. You know, we had the greatest thing happen this morning, Bob. Do you want to hear about it?
What would that be?
Well, I'll tell you later. But speaking of the greatest thing that ever happened to me, she's sitting here right next to me.
Woo, that's
Linda.
Did you hear me just land?
Where were you? Were you hovering someplace? Or?
Well, good morning. 7:06 in the morning. Hey, you know what? We have a special weather statement. I want to let you know. Oh my God, my parents are driving up from Sacramento. You would know. But be careful because there's two Pacific storms that are going to be moving through interior Northern California over the holiday weekend, bringing gusty winds and rain at lower elevations. The first storm is going to spread across the area Friday into Friday night. Rainfall amounts in the valley are expected to be around half an inch or less, with the greatest amounts in the northern Sacramento Valley. The storm will also bring strong and gusty south to southwest wind Friday into Friday evening. Valley winds up to 30 miles per hour will be possible, with gusts to 40. So there's wind advisories for the northern half of Sacramento Valley, and currently it's 41 degrees. There's going to be, sun peeking in and out, but today's a high of 58. Looks like the lake is 24 feet from being full. Oh, and I hope we have the countdown. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. That's our, Carl and I, our favorite destination. Actually, I've been having withdrawals. It's our favorite destination getaway, just a short distance out of Reading. About 12 miles out of Reading, actually. I'm having withdrawals from John Stadelli's fine food.
Well, you know, it's a fun place to be out there.
We'll be out there on the 15th, though.
You know, I have to ask you sometimes, is 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, how can you be so perky? How can you wake up?
There's no business like show. I think, you know, it's one of those, you just rise to the occasion. Speaking of which, last night we were flipping around. Raquel Welch has a new book out. Oh, my God. This woman is 70, and it's a new book, Beyond the Cleavage. Love it.
Yeah,
so
right.
We watched it last night. We watched a little bit last night, and then this morning we watched her again on Fox. And, you know, here's a woman who, you know, has had spanned how many decades of show business. She talks about her spirituality, her marriages, you know, that people still equate her to the fur bikini. And, yeah, 1 million BC, I mean, it was hot, you know. I mean, it truly was the poster to rock the world of all times before Farrah Fawcett. She's still a goddess. She's 70 years old, and I can't wait to read the book, because there's somebody who has risen to the occasion of embracing her age, embracing the day. What are you smiling at? Carl's like,
because I need to make an announcement here to all of our services, all of the service men, all the veterans, all the ones that have served, the ones that are serving, the ones that will serve. Raquel Welch was married to a Marine. Uh-huh, that's right. She had her choice. She married a Marine. They were married for approximately 5 years. He was a movie producer. And, in fact, when he told me, when I met him under a different circumstance, he said that he had been married to Raquel Welch. I didn't believe him. Except he said it the second time. And I looked at him and I said, "You're married to Raquel Welch?" He goes, "Yeah." And he starts talking about something else. And a couple of minutes later, I said, "You were married to Raquel Welch?" At this point, he goes, "Yeah, I was married to Raquel Welch. I was married from blah, 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 blah." And it's true. You know, name's Patrick Curtis. He's retired, or not retired, but he's a former fixed wing pilot. You know, flew in Vietnam. Met her. They got married. See? Marines, keeping those standards up. We got to take a break. It's Carl and Dubai, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Come Easter Sunday, discover entertainment at its best and join us at C.R. Gibbs American Grill from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for our legendary Easter brunch extravaganza. Enjoy the unbeatable combination of great food and great company with tantalizing menu selections, including fresh baked breads and pastries, cooked to order omelet station, eggs Benedict, our carving station, salad.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. You can hear us anywhere. Send us an email to Linda at KCNR1460.com, and we'll address those questions on the air. We had a couple of things happen. You know, we had something really great happen today. A gentleman by the name of Frank Rose came in.
Thank you, Frank.
Frank is a great man. He has done so much for our community with the veterans. He's with the the Sons of Italy, the whole thing. But last Saturday we were gone, and unfortunately, because we really missed two great events. The first one was that Welcome Home Vietnam Vets, the Sons of Italy, Salvation Army, Patriot Guard, Missing in America Project, Old Guard, American Legion. There's just so many. I'm not going to name them all. That participated in this. Eddie McCloster is the president of that association, and Julie Clausen was a real force behind this. And what they did was they invited all the Vietnam vets to come down to the vets hall there on Yuba Street, and there was hot dogs, there was was lunch provided, coffee and donuts by Salvation Army, R&R Meats donated the hot dogs and money. The Huey, of course, was there. But what it was people saying thank you to the Vietnam vets. And the place was loaded the whole day. And then they did a ride out to IGO and a service out there, and they came back. But we just wanted to thank the Vietnam Veterans Association and all the people that helped put that on, because it meant a lot. It meant a lot. You know, we talk about our heroes all the time here on our show. And you're starting – you hear that a lot. You hear the fact and almost all of the media, some of them are, of course, don't mean it, but the vast majority do that. How much they appreciate our warriors, how much they appreciate those men and women that are putting their lives on the line. But here, of course, in the North State, it seems even more so. But back, if you remember back to the 60s and all the terrible riots, all the, the marches against the war and the transference of the people's dislike for politicians to the warriors, and what they said to our returning Vietnam vets, the way they were treated was, it was horrible. It was worse than horrible. It was a national disgrace. A national disgrace where people actually blame the warriors for the elected leaders' decisions. How can a man or woman come back after putting their lives on the line and being with their brothers and their sisters in combat, and they come back home and they are treated, it's not just having things said about them, which happened to Dr. Ray John in a classroom in a university. And many times it was just being ignored. People didn't want to talk about it. They were ashamed. So that impacted on our Vietnam vets. But since then, the country, I think, has taken a good look at what happened and are trying to make amends for this. And so when we came back from Desert Storm, when we had a parade down the middle of San Diego, the veterans of Vietnam led our parade.
Wow.
And it was probably maybe the first parade that they had, an official parade. The people loved them. The people realized that these warriors were just like any other warriors that has fought for this country from the beginning, from the Revolutionary War, through the War of 1812, through the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. They're our sons and daughters. They're the people that fight. And I think people realize that. So a welcome home, Vietnam veterans. I applaud you. I applaud every one of you, and I applaud the people that put this thing on. And if I missed out on a couple of names, I'm sorry, but, you all have a lot to be proud of. And North State, you have a lot to be proud of. And on that same night, the Boondocker Ball. You know, Rob Burrows has got the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum, and this was a fundraiser for that. And Patrick Jones, the mayor, was there dressed as General Patton. I can just imagine how that went over. They had costumes, they had raffles, they had it all to raise money for that. But again, it's for veterans. They have collected so many items of memorabilia, so many papers, so many uniforms, weapons, you name it. They're collecting it, and they're collecting it all the time. And what is this for? It's to capture the heritage of the North State and its veterans, which is, you know, a proud heritage. And so many of our veterans are represented through these, just two events. Anyway.
Beautiful.
I just wanted to thank people.
Yes. First of all, and along with what Carl was just saying, is that Frank is the epitome of a citizen, veteran, somebody who shows up. And this morning when he came in, he brought us a cute little baby gift. I didn't know we were having a baby. Well, the baby is KCNR. And it was adorable. His wife had it specially wrapped, and he had a kit in there with, you know, wire, how to put wires together, you know, those little, you know, electrical things. Anyway,
but not the
so
red
I
wire.
Said, you know what, you really are, so, the way you show up, he said, well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to show up. And I commend Frank for that. You know, today's April Fool's Day. The next breath would be today's April Fool's Day. And so be careful when you're reading things and you really think it's legitimate, because it seems to be, even since we walked into the studio this morning, on the Internet, if you go to Google search, you'll see Topeka. Don't be freaked out about it, because you've heard about Topeka, Kansas, renaming itself Google. Well, that was part of the municipal broadband project. Well, Google has decided to repay that tribute by renaming the company Topeka. They said that we had a fair amount of brand equity tied up in our old name. And so you'll see that today. I believe that's just. Topeka has even offered new phrases for the company name, like before our blind date, I Topeka'd him. Okay, then. Right here. That's right on, you know, April Fool's things. New sizes at Starbucks. Forget about tall, grande, or venti. Starbucks has two new sizes, Plenta and Micra. The Plenta is a 128-ounce drink for caffeine addicts who can't get enough coffee.
128 ounces.
Yep, and for those who need just a tiny sip, you can get the 2-ounce Micra. And don't worry about all that paper waste from the new Plenta-sized cup. Starbucks says you can reuse your gigantic Plenta cups in a number of useful ways, including a planter, lampshade, or yoga block.
This is Carl Lindebottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. When we come back, we're going to talk about a general who published a letter in the Stars and Stripes, and it has caused some consternation. I mean real consternation all the way up to the Secretary of Defense. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. I am with Linda Bott. She's here, too. Our guests are showing up. But you know what? I want to talk about a couple of things. You know, just how some things catch your eye in a newspaper. Front page, record searchlight.
First thing I noticed
that things were spelled correctly. So. Oh, come on, Silas. It's just a little humor here.
Well, this is also Census Day.
It's Census Day, but it says here that gays may check husband or wife. Gay and lesbian couples who share a home may identify one another as husband or wife on their 2010 census forms if that's how they view their relationship, even if they're not legally married. That's okay. You know, that's them. Here's my question. Do they mark male or female? I mean, we're counting males and females, so I imagine they put down, okay, I'm male, but I'm the wife. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, but I just want, you know, are they making sure they're keeping track of the individuals? Now, you know what my real problem with the census is? And today is Census Day. And this has been running via the veterans community. I mean rampant through the veterans community. There is not one question on the census on, are you a veteran? Nothing that addresses it. You know, they come out and say, well, we have a supplementary handout that's like 15 pages that ask you questions that you wouldn't even tell your own father about. And, you know, and has one question or two questions there about a veteran. The question is, why isn't there one question on our census that comes out every 10 years asking, are you a veteran? Because if that question was asked, how much planning could be done to figure out on future VA hospitals? I don't know what the government's been thinking, but for the last 10 years, we've been at war. How many hundreds of thousands of people have served in our armed forces, and yet they don't have that question on the census? Why is that? Why is it when we write to our representatives and say, why can't you change this? And months ago, it wasn't done. And yet, other ethnic groups, identity groups, whatever, they're in there. They're in there. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Morning.
I did my census. I answered the first two questions, and I wrote in under race, other. I'm a U.S. Navy veteran. Sent it in.
Oh. I don't know. But, you know, see, here's the problem with that, Bob, is where I agree with you. But, you know, they have scanners. And hopefully that would knock the scanner, you know, the scanner would then kick that into something else so somebody would read it. But I also understand is that then questions aren't asked. Then they have these little groups of people that come out to ask you questions, which is why they put your GPS coordinates in on your address.
Well, I don't think they'll come out to me.
Well, here's my whole thing is this, is we can ask all these questions, but to me, a veteran, being a veteran, is somebody in your family a veteran? Something like that, you know, in the immediate right. family. Something should have been asked. Something should have been asked, and it wasn't.
What does it matter if I'm Hispanic or Asian? Aren't we all Americans? We part of the same services?
Well, they're really trying to identify the Hispanics, too, from what I understand, the yes. Hispanic population. Well, there's a big reason for that, too. It's another election's coming up. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of questions for people that are running this year, Bob. I hope you get involved. Like, what do you plan on doing about the borders? Are you for amnesty? Are you for taking care of Americans that are born here? Or people that just visit and take our money? Yeah, anyway.
We'll take the money and send them home.
Okay, Bobby, thanks a lot
for
calling.
I'll get to hear that border, that's for sure. I mean,
I
got killed there.
Yeah, this is getting to be more, you know, I mean, John McCain changed his mind and said, hey, I guess we do need the National Guard at the border. Okay, John, we've known that a long time.
Long time, yeah.
Okay, hey, Bob, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All right. I don't know, those kind of things just kind of, those things irritate me.
You got your bun in a twist.
Well, you know, and we have some guests coming, but there's another one that I really want to get into, but we have our guests, and I'm not going to interfere with that.
And we're taking calls. And
we're
so,
taking calls.
You know,
right.
When we come back on the other side after the news, we're going to continue on, because you know what we do here on Free Fire Radio is that we want you to be able to speak your mind.
That's it. You know, this is your...
Get active.
Sometimes we forget to say this, but this is your radio station, my friends. You know, this is what, you know, we provide the airwaves for your opinion. You know, I'll throw out ideas, Linda will throw out ideas. That doesn't mean we have to stay there. And we try to bring in a lot of things from our community that's going on so that you know what's going on. But, it's, you know, the bottom line, Free Fire Radio is open line. We'll talk about what you want. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Let's go to the phones. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl. Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
And Bad Bob, how you doing? Listen, first of all, I wanted to thank you for the plug for the show last night. It went off real well. Everybody participated, and it was a good experience, and there was a lot of helpful information that came out from all of the guests.
Are we safe walking around Reading there?
I don't think we're safe walking around anywhere. But that's okay. I'll tell you what, we're safer here in Reading than we are anywhere else. We've got a tremendous police force, and we've got some really good, concerned people. And we have a lot of people who have carry permits that are taking care of business.
Well, I think that, you know, somebody says, why do you feel the need to carry a weapon? The answer is because a policeman's too heavy.
My question is, why do you feel no need to carry one?
Hey, you know what? It's the thing, you know, Chief Anson said to us one day on the show is that the street crime in Reading is really low. There could be a reason for that.
Yes, there is.
It could be that there's 4,000 concealed carry permits out there that might have something to do with it.
This is not the place to do it.
That's right.
Listen, I wanted to just make a quick statement, and then I wanted to ask you something else. But, you know, the abused and defiant veteran warriors of the Vietnam War are a national tragedy. Never have so many who sacrificed so much been so ignored. Although late, the recent acknowledgement and notes of appreciation for these heroes is the right thing to do. We owe these defiant warriors an awful lot. And it saddens me, and sometimes, I mean, as dramatic as this sounds, when I see some of them, it moves me to tears, the condition that has placed them in the place that they're at, and the condition is being ignored. It's just sad. And I don't know where I'm going with that. I don't really have any question to make. I wish people would reach out and appreciate these guys a little more. When you see one with a Vietnam War hat on that's a little bit dirty and he looks a little scruffy and whatnot and he's got that look in his eye, just tell him, hey, you know what? I do appreciate what you did.
And, you know, I think that that's coming across more and more to the people. And, again, we're making that distinction between a politician that votes to send young men and women to war and the warriors that fight it.
I couldn't agree more. No. Anyway,
okay.
I'm going to get away from that for a minute because I got all choked up there. The Department of Veteran Affairs maintains the statistics on veterans. That's why it's not on the Census Bureau write-up. We don't need it on the Census Bureau write-up. There is a much, much better census done by the Department of Veteran Affairs than there could ever be done by the census. That is such sketchy information. And the VA actually provides the statistics to the federal government that gives us the necessary supports that we need and get. And
I commend the VA, and I'm not taking anything away from the VA. But, you know, there's a lot of organizations that when you come out that, you know, the VA keeping track, how many are right here in the county. I mean, we can't even say right here in the county how many veterans we've got.
No, we're never going to be able to.
Well, we may know. We might be able to, as if, you know, the census goes to everybody.
The census is, I don't know, it's such an inaccurate concept. I don't even know why they do it. It does not account.
You're not listening to the ads. You're not listening to the ads that are running all the time on the TV.
The
hundreds of millions of dollars you're spending on those.
I know.
Hey, we have ads on the station that says, "Hey, you've got to fill out your census because then they know how many schools to build."
If we took and surveyed 10 people, how many responses do you? I mean, if we mailed out a voluntary survey, how many responses do you think you would get back?
Well, see, the thing is, it's not voluntary.
It is voluntary. I'm not going to fill it out.
No. Oh. Hey, okay, and so then, you know what? I think there's a bounty on people that don't, so I'll turn you in.
All right.
You know, the thing about it is this, John, is I see what you're saying from the VA, okay, but the VA doesn't know. We don't know how many veterans there are in right here in the North State in this county, and it's having a dramatic impact on the services that we can provide.
I understand.
This is why the census, you know, became a big thing. And maybe it is just symbolic. Maybe that's all it is, but it's still... important. The fact is that there, you know, that it's noticed, and the fact that you can have everything else on it, but you can't have veterans. And we have to run because we have guests here. But John, as usual, we appreciate you calling. You've always got good comments.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
It's really a fantastic event coming up, and we do have guests in the studios. But before we go there, we're going to take a break, and we want to talk to you about, well, we're going to have a challenge, we're going to give you some scoop, and we're going to tell you about a weather warning. Carl and Linnabot here, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Are you in?
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here, 605-4567. In case you're wondering about that music, our guest.
Wait.
Don Walken. Okay. Our guest, Maggie John, and Dave Rignell from the Women's Refuge, and we're going to be talking about walking a mile in her shoes. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
So when's this going to happen?
This is April 10th. The walk will start at 10 o'clock. We're having pre-registration the day before from 3 to 7, and it's at the Market Street Promenade. The walk is. The registration is at Need to Speed. This is our third annual event. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and this is a way to raise awareness about the issues of gender violence in our community. But one of the things that's so special about it, it gets men engaged in the movement. And it's really, it's a fun day, but it's around a very serious topic.
Absolutely.
The International Men's March to Stop Rape, Sexual Assault, and Gender Violence. Correct. It is an international movement. It's been going on for quite a few years. And so, Dave, you have brought in a pair of red patent leather pumps.
Yes, 3-inch heels. I've got 2 miles on them. I'll have 3 miles on them at the end of this walk. And I can honestly tell you, for those who have walked, at the end of the mile, you know that you've been walking in women's shoes. It's very difficult.
Tell us what your first year's experience was like.
Well, the first year was people that were approached the first year, the eyebrows went up, I'm going to wear what? But we still had men come out because, and Maggie's right, we're trying to get men engaged. So we had men come out, and the second year the stigma was gone and more men came out, and we're hoping this being the third year, now that we have done more with the event, especially moving it to the promenade, that was essential to us because it's centrally located, number one. And number two, we can walk the entire mile around the promenade and never cross a major street or close anything down. So that is essential to the walk itself because you can imagine that everybody's going to walk at the same speed. By the time that we're about halfway around, the last people are leaving. So it's quite an ordeal to watch.
You know, that's quite a pair of shoes you have there, Dave.
They are size 15. I could probably put motorboats on the, or motors on the back and use them for fishing in the off time.
And you're already like 6'3", right?
I'm 6'2", yes.
6'2", and so that puts you right up there. Now, what do you wear with this ensemble? Is it a, along with those red patent leather pumps?
I just wear what I've got on, actually. Chief Hansen, the last 2 years, has walked in his uniform with his shoes. And we have several officers. We have some fire people out there that are walking in their uniforms with their shoes.
Well, I'd like to make an official announcement is that Free Fire Radio is going to walk.
Wonderful.
Cool. And I issue a challenge to my fellow Patriot Guard veterans, missing in America, BFWs. If you're out there, join me. And if there's enough of us, we'll walk in a slightly less cohesive formation that we're used to, but we'll walk together. And we'll walk the mile.
That is awesome. And if people want information, they can go to our website at ShastaWomen'sRefuge.org. There's a flyer about the event with all the details, plus there's the sheet that we ask people to use when they're collecting money, because this is a fundraiser as well. But anyone who collects $100 or more will get this very fashionable T-shirt that Dave is wearing. And it says,
and it
real men walk a mile in her shoes, and there's a red high heel. It seems like red seems to be the outstanding colors. Now, as we're watching the little video here, there's a man who actually, I think Ken Murray wore fishnets last year. He wore fishnets the first year, yeah. Okay, and then here's a guy that's got the lines up. There's Ken Murray. He's got the lines up the back. Some of these guys have got some good-looking gams going on. Yeah, it's amazing. You go up and it's, oh, that's a man. Woo. And then there's some red patent leather boots, but we're going to find a great pair for you. But Carl, one more time, let's challenge. Let's get this going.
And where challenging do people go? I'm challenging all my fellow veterans. I'm challenging our friends, Rich Bay. I know you're out there and you can walk in your little lawyer pumps that you probably already wear when you go to, oh, no, that's somebody else. I know Jerry Benito will be out there.
Jerry's always there.
Okay, Jerry's there. I imagine there's going to be some mayors out there. I know Tom Basinko's going to be out there.
Tom's going to be there.
Oh, Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones. I know you're out there listening, Mr. Jones, Mayor Jones. I expect you to be out there. Oh, I know it's a work day, but, you know, I think you can cut loose for an hour. Patriot Guard, Jeff, Moon Me, I know you're going to be out there. I know you've already got a set.
And not only that, if this is a time that if you have your tiaras or your boas, or you always wanted to wear your wife's boa, bring
it
on.
We do see boas. We see boas.
Well, there's Ken Murray with it. I'm watching this again. We love Ken. It's
Ken's
just a good
sport.
Yeah, he's
Ken's
a total great. How long does it take to, Dave, to walk the mile?
It takes about an hour, and the other thing we encourage is we want these men out there walking, but we want their families to walk with them. We've had wives and children and aunts and uncles walk with these men, and that's important to us because we want the real men, we want to have the support of everybody in the community, and it starts with their family. So I know, ladies listening out there, I know you've got a real man somewhere in your life, so let's get him out there and get him walking with us.
Well, I know there's a lot of people listening. Here's your chance. Let's come out, and we can support.
And not
getting
shoes is not being able to find shoes is not an excuse.
Oh, yeah.
There's shoes at Payless. There's also shoes at
the humor shop.
Mm-hmm. And also, some people who may have some mobility issues and are a little concerned about the heels, we've seen people come out in dressed up bedroom slippers, the whole nine yards. So
it's really just about walking a mile in her shoes.
Right.
Whatever
awareness.
Those shoes may be.
Exactly.
Yes.
And again, we encourage pre-registration on the 9th at Need to Speed. That way you can, it's between 3 and 7. That way you can come in, get all the business aspects of this taken care of. And if you raise $100 or more, you can get that T-shirt and you'll be able to put the T-shirt on in the morning. Come to the event at 10 o'clock and walk.
Now, when you raise the money, is that do you hand that in on the 9th or is that something that you do afterwards?
We'd prefer everyone do it on the 9th. Now, okay. If you can't make the 9th, we'll accept money on the 10th.
Can people come to the refuge or can people do this online and then deliver the money the day of? I mean, just
All the forms are online at ShastaWomen'sRefuge.org. We do have some available in the office at 2280 Benton Drive, Building A. And if you have any questions, Christy Hansen at 244-0118, extension 202, can get you more information.
That's great. Any closing thoughts, Dave, for your I'm a Real Man Act Support and Care guy?
Well, I just encourage to have all the real men in the community show up because it's an important issue, and we want Shasta County men to step forward and claim they're all real men.
Okay.
Woohoo! I need that boots are made for walking again. Boop. Anyway,
Bob just fell on the floor for that one. You've got to give it arms in the air. And but the pumps he's wearing just went straight up. Bad Bob's practicing. I was wondering about that. You know, the crew we have around here is a little strange at times, but they are very effective.
Well, I have to say the Belongies are a tremendous support to us, and they will be there on Saturday. They handle our sound for us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well,
so are you going to be wearing women's shoes, Bob? Bob, yes. Quit raising your hands in the air and surrender.
You can wear your slippers.
Okay.
Well, wonderful. Thanks. And Maggie, thank you so much for all that you do in the community.
Well,
really.
Thank you both for helping us raise awareness. And I want to thank Dave. This is the third year he's chair of this event, and he's doing an awesome job.
My pleasure. It's a fun event, and it's a worthwhile event.
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming
in.
Well,
we'll
thank
see you,
you
all a week from Saturday.
That's
and
right.
We'll talk about this a few more times.
Wonderful.
Thank you, guys.
All right. All thanks. Right. Hey, this is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and finish up this segment with what did the general say that got him in hot water? KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Easter.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Write to Linda at KCNR1460.com. You know, I jumped on Bob's bump music early, and you know we've got him completely flummoxed here. We tell him go back, get this one. And
flummoxed. Ooh, word of the day.
How would you like to be a 3-star general, and you see something that's happening, and the in the service, something that you devoted your whole life to, and you feel strongly enough so that you decide to, you know what, I'm going to write a letter. Well, you know you can do that. Unfortunately. For Lieutenant General Benjamin Mixon, who was a 3-star Army general, the letter he wrote to the Stars and Stripes told the troops that they need to stand up and defend the don't ask, don't tell policy. As you know, President Obama wants to change that from his, and he's using as his decision-making ability there the number of years he has spent in the service. And he's thrown this out. The Secretary of Defense has said that he wants to do a long-term study on doing away with the don't ask, don't tell policy in allowing gays to openly serve in the military. Well, right now, that is getting some pushback from a number of people, including the Marine Corps Commandant James Conway and other uniform officers, many with impressive service records. And it doesn't have to do with whether a person is gay or not serving in the military, because they're a gay servant in the military. It does with the policy, don't ask, don't tell. How disruptive would it be to change all this? But Lieutenant General Mixon wrote this letter, went to the Stars and Stripes, and what happened was is that this, when it came up, his civilian boss, Secretary of Defense Gates, and told reporters, or his secretary told reporters that Mixon had been told by the Army Chief of Staff, General Casey, that what he did was inappropriate. Now, is he going to be punished for it? No. Is he going to be forced to step down? No. And he's not even going to be formally reprimanded. But what they said is that what he was doing was kind of politicking for a decision. Well, excuse me, but when Gates talks about it, the Secretary of Defense talks about it, and you have the Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces talk about it, and, of course, President Obama talking about it, that seems to be me to be politicking. And here's the thing is, our service chiefs are, when they go to talk in front of Congress, by law, under oath, they have to tell the truth. So what Lieutenant General Mixon, who is not one of the chiefs of staff, but what he did was, he just said, told the troops, he urged the troops to write to their congressmen, write to their representatives, and say to keep the don't ask, don't tell policy. A variety of reasons. That one day we'll talk about that, because there is a variety of reasons that it can and probably should remain the way it is, at least for the near future.
And I think people hearing your feelings and opinion on this, being the fact that you're a lieutenant colonel in the Marines, it's important to hear from somebody who is in that kind of position to hear how you feel about that, because I'm sure as you served, you know what it was like to be with people. It was like you probably knew, but don't ask, don't tell. We have to be out there.
We knew that there were, you know, gay Marines and gay soldiers and all that. Here's the bottom line, and we discussed this for a long time over the past weekend. It comes down to discipline and order, and the fact that going into combat and going into very harsh places is the absolute trust you have in each other. And some people, many people, they're basing their lives, they're risking their lives on the decision of one person, whether it's a platoon commander, maybe it's a sergeant, whatever. And you want everybody to be on that one team. And we're in the middle of two wars right now, in case nobody's noticed that, and maybe on the verge of going someplace else. Who knows? How much do you want to disrupt the military? How much do you want to change? How much do you want to make people that you start breaking that bond of trust and brotherhood? How much of that do you want to do as a political experiment? I don't think that people do want to do that. I think if you want to make any changes, which they've already done, is what they said was, oh, it has to be a general officer that starts a discharge proceeding. Of course, I guess that means that colonels with 25 years in the Marine Corps or the Army or the Air Force can't be trusted anymore. Now, of course, this is just my opinion. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. What are you doing here, Bob?
That's all right. We were in the Banff World Tour.
We're in the Banff World
Film
Tour.
Festival.
You know
that's
what,
cool.
You know, that's going to be great. You know, yeah. They're putting this on to raise money for the swim team. It's going to be down to Cascade Theater, and we're going to have them on here the next week or so. But
this Friday.
This
tomorrow
Friday.
We're going to be at Tobacco and Brew.
Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're going to have Corky Harmon. He's running for supervisor of the 5th District. In fact, he's going to be our guest tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and then we're going to take him over to town hall meeting so you get a chance to grill him. We've had all of the supervisors, we've had the supervisor and now everybody that's running against Les Paul.
Actually, anybody who's going to be running for office this year, we're very encouraged to bring them on to KCNR and then again over to every Friday we do our live internet show at Tobacco and Brew. So you can hear all of those shows in the archives at Free Fire Radio. Right now I'm going to tell you about a little bit about a weather warning that's happening.
And maybe we're not. Hey, first of all, we'd also like to thank Bastiani Arms. They sent us an email, Mike from Bastiani Arms. And by the way, Bastiani Arms on Larkspur is our newest sponsor. But they sent us an email, and they have pledged $30 to me for this walk a mile and her shoes. And that's great. Thank you so much, Mike and Bastiani Arms. You guys have got big hearts out there. And let me say is that I want to see how much money we can collect for the shelter. And I still want to have all of my fellow veterans, Jerry, NorCal Presort. You know, I like to see seals in high heels.
Seals in high heels. Love it. It's a new sitcom.
That's right.
We started on Saturday the 10th. I love it. Okay, now listen, we're going to go back to the weather today. Snow showers have notably diminished throughout the mother lode and west slopes of the northern Sierra Nevadas, who have canceled the winter weather advisory. Thunderstorms, which may contain small hail, will be possible in the Central Valley today and surrounding foothills. So this is all about if you're driving the corridor. This is tomorrow through Thursday through Tuesday. Additional Pacific storms are forecast to move through interior northern California, bringing periods of a high wind and strong rain, especially into the mountains. So be careful. I know they're supposed to be gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour, and the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Currently 44 degrees out. We have some special guests in the studio. If you love your pet like we love our pet, that is like loving your child. In fact, there's just such an unconditional love with your pet. And a lot of us get frustrated over the fact that we can't communicate the way we want to communicate. We talk with our pets like they're people. And we expect them to understand us like we're talking to human beings. Well, this morning we have a very special guest.
Carla Jackson, our dog whisperer. We call her that. I mean, she doesn't call herself that, but we do. And she is going to talk. She is a dog trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a dog and, well, animal motel. Or should I call it a spa? What do you call it?
I call it Jackson Ranch for Dogs.
There you go.
Which is a boarding and training facility. We have 2 acres completely fenced. Dogs get to go out and play with each other, providing that they are social with people and other dogs. And it's kind of a day spa or a getaway, a ranch getaway, I guess.
So how many? It's just dogs.
Pretty much. We do take care of a couple of parrots, actually.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, you know, Bob has cats and birds. So people who have birds leaving town on a vacation want to know that their birds are taken care of properly, as well as their pets. So how many dogs, let's say, for instance, can you take, canines?
We're licensed for 20. So at 20, that's we're full.
Okay, cool. So people will come by, and not only do they drop their dogs off to stay with you for periods of time, do you have day sitting?
We do. We have daycare. We also have day training, which has been pretty successful. We're come in about 9:30, have a play date, get to play with some buddies, work off some energy. A lot of people with adolescent dogs just can't keep up with the energy that the physical exercise requirements that a young dog has. So they get a play date. We give them a couple training sessions throughout the day. I work with them. I also have a wonderful dog trainer, Chris Hansen, that works with me, and he does a couple sessions a day. So the dog not only is getting trained by me, but also getting worked with somebody else. And then they go home with their little minds exercised as well as their bodies. And that can last a good 2 days to kind of get you through that busy, busy, busy puppy time.
Well, that's amazing because we know that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have several things we want to ask you and encourage your calls at 605-4567. Ask the expert. If you're having a little frustration about your dog, now's the time to ask the expert. This might be a little, you know, kind of a little key thing that you get today right here on KCNR. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carla Linda Bott. We're back at 605-4567. You want to get on? Remember, this is open line. You know, we're talking to Carla Jackson, who has the dog place, the summer retreat, the training area.
Jackson Dog Ranch. What's it called, Jackson?
Jackson Ranch for Dogs.
Jackson Ranch for Dogs.
And we will completely screw that up, but we will keep going around about it until we get it right.
Where are
there.
You located?
We're out in Happy Valley on Hawthorne Avenue, about 2 miles off of Highway 273, okay. Out Canyon Road.
Okay, well, before we get there, we want to thank another pledge that came in for Carl to walk a mile in her shoes. Thank you again, somebody else from Bastiani Arms, which is Stacy. Thank you, $20 pledge there for Carl.
Whoa.
Or that's for a second blister.
Well, I tell you what.
30 for the first, second. You know, we're going to keep emailing us.
Bastiani Arms, you know, let's ring the bell for them.
You know what? Let's just say we have a goal. Our goal should be $250.
Okay. We'll make a goal of $250, yeah. And it all goes to a good cause. And we'll send photos to people. We get emails from you. We'll send a photo of you, of me in my high heels.
And then we'll have Trudy Pratt make sure that she definitely works on your her back.
Works on my back for the
Dr.
next.
Dr. Pratt.
Okay.
So, Carla, give our listeners a little bit of history of who you are, why you're here, and how long you've been here in the North State.
Well, I'm a North State native. I was born and raised here in Reading. And I got into dog training, kind of fell into it, I guess. I got my education in communications, public relations. And worked for the timber industry, and then started thinking, you know, I'd love to do something with dogs, something with animals, and went to work for Haven Humane Society in 1991 and worked in their education department and public relations. Had a little dog, actually two dogs that I took out into the schools and talked to school children about responsible pet ownership and spaying and neutering, and started noticing in the shelter how many dogs came in that were surrendered for behavior problems. So many things that could have been prevented, like he won't listen to me, won't come when called, runs away, digging, chewing, I just can't walk him, he pulls on the leash. A lot of things that certainly could have been prevented through early training. So started getting very interested in that, and in 1999, opened Jackson Ranch for Dogs. And
99?
Yes, 1999.
Wow. So, does your husband also work with you?
Yes.
Okay, so the two of you, how many people do you employ?
There's Mark and myself, and then we have Chris Hansen, and we also have Kaylin Mercer, who has been with us for over 2 years now. And they're both good little dog trainers. They're great. They're great with the dogs. The dogs love them. They love the dogs. And so it's been a really good business for us.
Do you still go out and do the programs on occasion to schools or other organizations to let them know about, you know, don't surrender your pet because your pet's digging? I mean, you know, give us some tips on what to do with these kinds of situations.
Well, digging is what dogs do. I mean, they don't get what our big deal about digging is because there's things in the ground. They can hear things. They can smell things. So digging really comes down to recreation and boredom. So some breeds like terriers, dachshunds, really that's part of their history. That's what they do. They are bred to dig for vermin, basically. So some of it is you're dealing with lots and lots of instinct. Usually what I recommend is making sure your dog has plenty of outlets for other things to do. If you have a golden retriever or a lab, they're often digging to get cool. Provide them with an area where they can dig or a wading pool in the summertime with little floaty toys so they can get in and entertain themselves that way.
I love it.
if you're having a digging problem in one area, one way we have managed to kind of solve that problem, because we do have some digging at Jackson Ranch for Dogs in places where we don't really want digging. So we'll take the collected dog poops of the day, put them in the hole, bury them, and sometimes you can put some chicken wire or some sort of wire over the hole. So if the dog does go back to that area and dig, they'll get a little yucky surprise. And you think, well, they'll just go dig someplace else. Yes, so then you just do that there. And pretty soon you have all these areas where it's just not that fun to dig, and that can send a message. And oftentimes that can fix it.
Okay, if anybody has a question about their dogs, little things their dogs may be doing that they want them to stop to do, this is a good time to ask, because you're getting free advice.
Right, on Free Fire Radio.
On Free Fire Radio. Now, Elk Killer.
I'm sorry, what?
Elk Killer, our dog.
That's our dog.
Oh.
Our dog, Elk Killer.
I met, yeah.
That's right. You know, the ferocious, that alpha female that has, in fact, one day drugged Bob out of the office because he upset her.
She's fearsome.
She's fearsome.
She looks like a miniature Ewok, but.
But she's fearsome.
But she's fearsome.
She's fearsome. She runs from us.
She does run from us.
She runs from us. How do we stop her from doing that?
We don't have that trained part yet.
Okay. So the command would be come, right?
Yes.
So first of all, you have to me, come is such a fragile command. It can get messed up so easily, because what happens is if the dog has a lot of success at not coming, that's so rewarding for the dog. So look at it from the dog's point of view. She's got all sorts of opportunities out there to see things and smell things. And if you say come even once and she gets to turn and go do something more interesting, then she's just been rewarded for not coming. So you want to set yourself up for success. I usually start come immediately on leash, so I'm guaranteeing success. So you say the dog's name and come. As soon as she turns, you start cheerleading, verbally praising, and have something wonderful to reward her with. And lots of repetition. What I like to do is basically build muscle memory. So when she hears her name, Elk Killer, come, she just turns. She doesn't even think that she has any other option, because you've practiced it and she's had a wonderful outcome.
It's never too late.
It's not too late, but with come, I do have a little disclaimer that it you can turn it around, certainly, but it depends on how much success the dog has had at this point. Because I think it's a disaster to have your dog not come to you, because there's that little deadly seed planted in the back of her head that's an option. So one thing you can do is I would encourage you to have her just drag a little leash around, just a light drag line, 6 feet. So when you say come and she starts to turn to run, you just step on the leash and then praise her for coming to you. So you start breaking that habit, because it is a habit.
Yeah, well, you know, and we've got to take a break, but one of the things that was just driven home to us was one of the little dogs that she plays with up at the Benton Dog Park did not come when they were leaving the dog park and
got off its leash
and ended up dead.
Mm.
So just in the last week.
It's horrible.
So, and that was one of the things that kind of drove it home. It's, you know, it's kind of cute when she jumps back and forth. When she doesn't, it's not cute when you think about it.
Right.
Anyway, we've got to take a break.
And we have emails that are coming in. So
right.
When we come back, we're going to tell your emails to Carla. And so hang in there with us, Carla Lindebott.
KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carla Lindebott. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the North State. Great humidor. Then you get your drinks, your coffee, your teas from Espresso Joe's. And right next door is a great place to listen to, hook up with your computer, drink your coffee, drink your lattes, walk outside, sit down, and have your cigar. What else is there in life?
You mean like Wi-Fi?
It's got Wi-Fi, yeah. And all those other little, all those little wireless things that make your computer work.
Our guest today is Carla Jackson from Jackson Dog Ranch.
Jackson Ranch for Dogs.
Jackson, I'm telling you.
You're doing great.
It's like memorizing a lyric incorrectly.
Right.
Jackson
Ranch.
We have questions, luckily, from the audience.
Just think JR. Jackson Ranch for Dogs.
This question is from Mark.
Okay. How do you stop your dog from jumping up and down when guests come?
Ooh, that's one of our main calls. That and not coming when called, actually. So the greeting disorder, we call that, where they just go ballistic yes. at any new person. When you think about it, there's a lot of drama at the doorway, usually, right? People are talking fairly excitedly. And so the dog, of course, wants to join in on that. So they jump on the guest, which is a greeting behavior that that they do as youngsters when mother comes back to the whelping box. They all jump on her and want her to feed them. And so one way to do it is to try to downplay that excitement at the door, if possible, which really isn't possible. So let's forget that.
Yeah. It's difficult because Linda's jumping up and down.
Yeah,
there too,
I do. I'm excited when people come over.
Right.
Yay!
So she's just joining in the party. So one thing, go back to that drag line. We just have a little leash attached to her. Assuming you know that guests are coming, you can have her wearing her little leash. And just put your foot on the leash short enough so she can't jump on the guests. And then that gives you the freedom to kind of ignore her. Greet your guests. You can ask them to ignore her. And when she settles down, usually it's that first 5 to 15 minutes that's so exciting. So if you could just keep your foot on the leash, keep her kind of under control, then when she's relaxed, then people can greet her. And so what she's able to do is be part of the action without becoming the center of attention for being obnoxious. Because your guests will never help you train your dog. You know,
right.
People say, oh, I tell everyone to ignore her. Well, they can't because they're being jumped on.
Yeah.
And so they'll do polite things like, oh, it's okay, I love dogs. And they'll pet the dog. Again, where is she getting rewarded? She's getting rewarded for jumping. So if you can stop that and allow her to get rewarded for being calm, then hopefully the default will then go to calm behavior eventually.
We're talking with Carla from Jackson Ranch for dogs.
Yay.
I love it.
You're
Carla
so
Jack. Good. Oh, well, anyways, and the ranch is in Happy Valley. This we have so many other questions we need to ask you, like kids and dogs and there's several things that we have on our list. Why don't we just talk about kids and dogs?
Okay. What do you want to know?
Well, how young should a child be introduced to their house pet?
That's kind of an interesting question. I think, of course, the younger you can start, the better, with both introducing dogs to children. I think puppies need to be around polite, well-behaved, respectful children from the moment you bring them home. There's that critical socialization phase where Dr. Ian Dunbar, who was kind of our dog training guru, started puppy training years ago, recommends that your puppy meet 100 friendly people and 100 friendly dogs before they're 5 months old. So that's a pretty big task. But the theory is dogs are neophobes.
They're, I don't know 100 friendly people.
Well, you know, there's the Benton Dog Park. People bring their dogs up there and they have a really big time
I'm
socializing
there. I'm
not
sure I
there.
Know 50 friendly people.
So we have just a few minutes left before we have to take our hard break here. So, okay, so 100 people by the time they're 5 months.
Right, and people of different sizes, wearing different clothes, wearing hats, tall people, short people, people on crutches, people in wheelchairs. So you get a dog that is familiar with all sorts of sights and sounds and smells, so they won't be fearful when they encounter that as a two-year-old dog. It's like, I've never seen that before. Like I started to say, they're neophobes. They tend to be wary of new things. And all dogs, of course, are different. Some are more sensitive than others. So we really recommend and urge that early socialization.
Well, we can say we got about a minute left before our heart.
Yeah, you know, what we tried, that was one of the reasons we took our dog up to the Benton Dog Park, which is a great place, is so, you know, she spent her first probably 3 weeks on her back because she's, you know, she's not a very aggressive animal. But it did
when
so much.
When she's not killing elk.
When she's not killing elk or pulling Bob out of here. But she has learned now. She has gotten tough and she's been lifting weights. And I think Linda's been giving her some of these growth hormones and rubbing other things on her. But that helped a lot in the socialization. But we love that dog, but she is not a very well-behaved dog. And that's one of the things we need to work on for her. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio.
NR 1460 AM, clearly news talk radio.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. It's our buddy Dennis. You know, Dennis is going to have on his show today, he's going to have Gene Cernan, the retired astronaut who was the last man to walk on the moon. He's also going to have George Birnbaum, former chief of staff to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And the thing about that is a lot of the, just for a plug for the show, is a lot of people, a lot of the Israelis think that President Obama is not their best friend, and which is kind of unusual. Now, there's a couple of things before we get back to our guest, Carla Jackson, is I'd like to say a little shout-out out there for Little John's mom, Rusty. She had a stroke. She's in the hospital, but she's doing better. She's recovering from that. But we just say our prayers and all of the great thoughts we have from Free Fire Radio go out to Rusty. And then Tom talks a lot. Also has been having some tough times, as has Mac. Tom and Mac are Patriot Guard riders, veterans, and I tell you what, they're great people. They're going through some medical times right now, and we just want to tell you that we're thinking of you, as are all of your friends. We want you to get well, and you know, keep plugging in there, and we love you guys. Our guest, Carla
Jackson.
Well,
we also, wait a minute before we go there, I just have to tell you that Rick Goins, CPA, just pledged $25 for your walk.
Okay.
And they're also supporting Tom Basenko.
I think,
you know,
I'll have better shoes than Tom Basenko.
You know, this is an interesting, this is somebody who listens, and this is another email regarding the walk. And I think here's a person that writes in about that the rape is a very serious subject, and there should be a better way to bring awareness to this matter. Why does the issue have to be a money-making venture? Because we're supporting, first of all, the women's refuge, the shelter, where women who have been raped or victims of violence can go. So the money raised goes to, and men raising awareness for women. It's pretty cool to have men. It's just kind of a fun way for men.
I also believe that they've lost almost $200,000 in funding this year from the state. I'm going to have to check that for sure, but I know that, you know, some of the funding for the programs, because the state is in a, you know, a dismal mess when it comes to it too. So.
And it also goes on to say in this email who's in charge of the money, and they turned in late and they didn't get to ask those questions. So we'll make sure that as we get closer, we will bring on the experts that will tell you exactly where those funds are going. But I believe it's goes into the shelter, which again helps house and take care of women in a time of need when they have to leave that environment, that shelter takes care of them.
Now, what we'll do is we will take your email and we'll find those answers, and we won't just forward it. We'll find out the answers and we will send them to you. So, but thank you so much for that email.
And another email, Carla says, we need to see the world from a dog's point of view, because if you're just tuning in, our guest today is Carla Jackson from the Jackson Ranch for Dogs. And Carla says we need to see the world from a dog's point of view. How is that different from our view of the dog and its world? And how does that lead us to reward the wrong behavior?
Okay. Well, I think that dogs have been in our lives so much that we do start to think that they understand what we're saying without teaching them what we're saying. They have the same values that we do. And I just think that people really have a hard time kind of sorting through how to effectively communicate with the dog. So what was the question? How the dog is being rewarded?
How is that different from our view? Okay, so it says, how does the world, to see the world from a dog's point of view, how is that different from our view of the dog and its world, and how does that lead us to reward the wrong behavior?
Okay, well, for instance, the dog that won't come when called. I have lots of folks that play kind of catch-me games with their dog. So you go out and you want to exercise your dog, so you clap your hands and the dog is running circles around you, and you, ha ha ha, I can't get you. And the dog is forming the opinion that, yeah, you can't get me. So where that becomes a dangerous game, you think you're playing a game. The dog is playing to win, pretty much, and practicing all those ancient skills of circling and and running. So the dog is getting rewarded for that activity that really bites you when this just happened to some clients of mine. The dog jumped out of the car at the Safeway gas station on Cypress. Ooh. And so, of course, you get out, and what do? Come here, and you clap your hands, and the dog says, I know this game. This is the runaway, you can't catch me game. So paying attention to what kinds of games you're playing with your dog, what is that going to look like when you have to get them to come to you? If you have practiced lots of runaway from me games, that's a dangerous one. The dog that gets to leave the property and chase cars, very rewarding to the dog, very, very dangerous, and something that I certainly wouldn't think would be something you would want to promote for a variety of reasons. So seeing where your dog is getting rewarded, they learn through trial and error. They're a little opportunists. So if something works out well for them, say counter surfing, that's a big one. You don't have that problem with your dog because she can't reach the counter. But
she would if she could.
Yeah, we have people with dogs that have stole the Thanksgiving turkey. What a reward for the dog. And there's nothing you can do after the fact. They have just hit the million-dollar lottery.
Except for talk about it years later. Like, you remember that one year when...
Yeah, that's right. Or, you know, licks the butter plate clean off of the coffee table.
We usually don't tell the guest about that. So you might want to check around the edges.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a great question. Thank you. Keep sending your emails. But I do have a question for you that's really... I want to talk about breeds and ask your expert advice on that or opinion on that. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest today is Carla Jackson from Jackson Ranch for Dogs. If you have any question regarding your pet and you want to know about its behavior or... just anything, give us an email or call us 605-4567. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Good morning, Reading! It's 8:44 in the morning. Can you believe it's the 1st of April? So you're going to get lots of pinches today.
Ooh.
Or is that...
No.
No, that's the... that's if you're not wearing green. April Fools! I just got a pinch.
This is Carl and Bob, Free Fire Radio. We'd like to get back to something serious here. Dog training.
Dog training. Well, we
Carla
have
Carla Jackson. Even,
that's right, Carla Jackson. Jackson Ranch for Dogs. Good morning, Carla. Welcome back to the Free Fire Show.
Thank you.
On this ranch for dogs, do you like raise them and brand them and herd them around?
No. No, okay. This is strictly like a dude dog ranch.
A dog ranch.
Oh, I like it.
We're just having fun.
Yeah.
And, Carl, I would like to have Jackson Ranch for Dogs donate $25 to your Walk a Mile, which I think puts you in the T-shirt now.
Puts me, that's $100 we've raised already this morning. You know what? Thank you so much, sir, Carla. Now, let me ask a question that just came in off the computer. How do you prevent fleas?
Okay, fleas are, think of fleas, controlling fleas as a not a battle, but a war. You are constantly working to prevent fleas. Fleas spent only about 5% of their life actually on the dog. Most of it is in the environment. And they are successful, so successful, little parasites. They, they're constantly laying eggs, and those eggs can roll off somewhere and wait for the perfect time to hatch. So the best thing to do, we used to just constantly have to be treating the environment with chemicals and washing the animal in chemicals. Now, with the advent of Frontline and Advantage Flea Control, it's a once a month application that you put on the dog, and it has it really, really helps with the flea.
So the necklace of garlic that you make it wear around its neck doesn't help.
You could try that.
Probably keep vampires away. Hey, let's go to the phones. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, John.
And good morning, Carla.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Listen, I'm really enjoying your information that you're putting out. And I got a couple things I want to ask you about and a couple things I want to say. About the fleas, I've had really good luck with eucalyptus. And I'm not talking about the oil. I'm talking about taking a branch of eucalyptus and putting it in the sleeping area of the dog. It drives fleas away.
Yeah, that is a natural repellent.
It really works good.
Yeah, good.
Okay, I've agreed with everything you've said, and I wanted to make a couple comments because untrained dogs are really a pain, and so are owners that don't train them properly. And one of the things I found out was if the key is do not issue a command you can't enforce or won't enforce. If you tell a dog to come and it's not going to come, you have to go and get that dog and bring it back to you.
Yeah, that's what I talk about setting up for success. And you're right. If you ask your dog to do something and you don't have a way to follow through and reward, then you're actually teaching the dog to ignore you and ignore your words.
And, you know, making training a routine and fun is kind of, you know, is very important.
I agree.
What you just said is very important. The reward concept, I found that I trained a lot of hunting dogs, and, I mean, I had like 27 of them. And I found that if you make your reward personal, you know, with attention, pets, and warm words, you always have those with you. You don't always have treats with you.
That's true.
And it just makes it better, I think. And I found out that if you start off with about 5 minutes a day, because that's all a dog can take in the beginning of training, and do basic training like sit and stay and come and heal, it all pyramids and it all works, and the training process really does work.
Yeah, it's I like to promote a Say Please program where you can make a list of five things that your dog knows. Knows sit, knows come, down, stay.
And stop that noise.
And quiet, yes. And then you have a list of their top five favorite rewards. And it's very important to know what the dog wants to work for. If you hired me to come out and do some yard work and tried to pay me with Brussels sprouts, I wouldn't come out and I wouldn't work very hard for you. If you wanted to pay me with cash or maybe chocolate, you'd get a much better response from me. So knowing what your dog's rewards are, you have to have his list. And just because you think he wants to work for Good Dog or he wants to work with cheese,
right,
maybe not. He might want to work for his favorite squeaky toy. So on the Say Please program, say he knows sit. So if you, but any, excuse me. I messed that up. Okay, he's got his top five favorite things in life that he loves to do. He loves
more
to go out in the backyard, and he knows sit. So before you let him in the backyard on the Say Please program, he sits first. Say he loves pieces of steak. Before he gets his piece of steak, he needs to do something from his know-how-to-do list. He needs to wait at the door or come. That's how the training stays strong. If we tell people they have to go out and march around for an hour and train their dog, nobody would do it. It's not fun. But you've got to let them out in the morning. You got to feed them, have them
do a little work. There's things that are routinely going to have to be processed.
Yep.
Well, I think you got a great thing going, and I you know, kudos to you and my hats off. Great job.
Thank you so much.
So, so John, you are going to be joining me out there in high heels?
No, Carly, you probably won't see me out there in high heels.
Oh, really? I think
you're... I mean, you know what? I love
really?
It, and I'll donate money. But, well, I'll tell you, when you're 6'2 and 200 pounds, high heels is not a comfortable condition.
We can find some low flats for you.
Yeah, the guy that was here before, he was
6'2. Yeah, he's 6'2. He weighs probably a good he probably is 200 pounds there, John.
You really want me to come out there and clip-clop around with you?
Absolutely.
I'll do it.
There you go.
Oh,
we got another one. Okay.
Bring it on.
All right, John. And we'll see you tomorrow if you come out there to the Back on Brew. We've got a big thing with Corky Harmon tomorrow.
I'll try to be there.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks
Bye.
For your phone call, John.
If you're just tuning in, it's currently 46 degrees here on KCNR here in the beautiful North State. We do have some weather advisory, though. It's going to, you know, we're going to have some really gusty winds coming up if you're driving up the corridor and you're coming in from Corning and you're tuning us in. 40-mile-an-hour gusty winds are going to be happening here between now and the weekend. It's going to be kind of a stormy week. However, if you're looking outside right now, we have, overcast skies. There's a little bit of sun, you know, peeking through. It's the 1st of April. And so if you check your Google account, guess what you're going to see? Topeka. There's all kinds of April Fool's Day jokes going on right now, so don't be a little too rattled on that. Do we have a caller?
We're going to take a break first. No, we aren't. We're going to go to the caller. Trudy, you're on.
Calling.
Okay, you're
good
there.
Morning.
You're there.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
How are
I
you today?
I'm coming back on after the break.
Yeah. No. We've got you now because we completely Forgot that. Anyway, you're on.
I'm on.
Hey, you're on.
You're on the air, KCNR. Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I want to congratulate Carla for getting on the radio, and I want to remind the listeners that she's going to babysit my show on Saturday at 10 a.m. So if the listeners are liking what they're hearing right now, which I'm just loving, I've learned so much, and I don't have a dog, it makes me want to go get one.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one for you.
It's plenty for adoption.
It takes a village, truly, for that dog.
Yeah.
It takes a large city for our dog.
And so I want to remind everyone that Carla will be babysitting.
That's
right. She'll be the host of my show. I won't be there on Saturday. And if people are loving what they're hearing, they can hear more. And probably she has some special guests she'd like to tell you about. Do you still have those, Carla?
Yes, we still have our guests. We have Katie Ball from Love Your Pet Expo is going to be on to tell us about that event, which is happening on Saturday the 10th. And then we have Dr. Jen Powers from Above and Beyond Animal Care. And she is a large animal vet, small animal vet, and a veterinary acupuncturist also.
Oh my goodness.
So she should be pretty interesting.
Well,
and you have a co-host, right?
I have a co-host, Sherry McMillan, certified pet dog trainer. She's pretending like she's not going to talk on the radio, but we're changing her mind. In fact, she's sitting here right
now.
Say
writing,
hello,
writing
Sherry.
Notes.
Everybody knows.
Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning, Sherry.
Now, Trudy. Now,
women, no dogs.
You know, Trudy, we're gonna miss your happy show on Saturday.
Well,
but Carla is gonna be an able stand-in.
Boy,
absolutely.
We hope so.
And where are you gonna
and
be?
You know what? What we're all hoping is that she gets bit by the radio bug and she wants to have her own show.
We need a dog whisperer show.
If you love it, listeners, let her know because boy, she is a wealth of knowledge, and we need. You know, we need more shows like Carla.
Thank you, Trudy.
All right.
Thanks, Trudy.
All right, have fun.
Okay,
thanks,
Trudy.
Have a good day. Bye.
All right, bye. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this
well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl Lindabot. We're closing up this segment of the show. Carla Jackson from Jackson Ranch for Dogs. How do they get a hold of you, Carla?
You can call me at 365-3800. I also have a website, jacksonranchfordogs.com, and I just recently entered the Facebook world, and I have a fan page, Jackson Ranch for Dogs, on Facebook. So you can be a fan if you want and get little updates as they happen. And if anyone has a question for Saturday's show from 10 to 11 on Saturday the 3rd, you can send your email to me at jacksonranch@shasta.com. So we would look forward to some questions that maybe we can get to.
Okay, and that's right. You're going to be on from 10 to 11.
10 to 11 on Saturday, yeah.
Saturday. It's going to be a great show. You know, we've always said we needed a dog whisperer type show because there's so many questions out there, and a lot of people have their, you know, have their pets, and they don't understand why pets do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does the dog lick your face? Oh, it's because they love me. Well, it may be a sign of affection, but it may be something else, too.
Mm-hmm. It gets started, it's an ancient, you know, licking the mother's mouth so she would regurgitate food, actually, is the base instinct. It is an attention-getting behavior, attention-seeking behavior. If you like it, great. If it becomes intrusive, like if you're trying to kiss your spouse and suddenly your dog thinks they need to be involved, you might want to consider having them do that when you request it. So it's not just happening.
Well, that's our dog. It's a happening dog. You know, we have a spontaneous dog.
It takes a village to raise our dog.
Anyway.
Well, I'm here to help.
Okay, now, tomorrow, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. And for
Saturday and for coming in and with that. And we'll be here Saturday.
Oh,
also.
You will? Good.
Oh, yeah, we always try to, you know, we try to be here during the show so we can, we like to listen to them. We like to see if there's anything we can
well,
do.
Well, we were
so
gone the last here. Couple weekends.
We need
we
to
had
get
like
back.
Some,
we need to get our fix.
You had a life.
We had to squirrel. We were squirrel hunting, and then we went to, you know, Palm Springs and did like a little fun weekend performance thing. But we'll be here this weekend and next weekend. You're going to be walking a mile.
I'm walking a mile.
Her Shoes.
In Her Shoes, and we've already raised over $100, and we want to raise more for this whole thing. And we're going to have a lot of good questions today. One question came in, veterans, post-traumatic stress, concealed carry. We will have that answer for you tomorrow. Tomorrow also we have Corky Harmon, who's running for supervisor of the 5th District, and then also going out to Tobacco and Brew for our town hall meeting with Corky, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And we're watching our producer here. He's in a little flurry of things after he heard about dogs licking faces. Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.